Okay?
Last week we were looking at commitment to Jesus. And this week we want to look further at that message, aiming to complete it today. So it's commitment to Jesus, part 2. Commitment to Jesus, part 2. Alright? So please open your Bible to Mark chapter 12. I'll be teaching. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse 28. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse 28 to verse 31. Mark 12, 28 to 31. Okay, who would like to read? Mark 12, 28 to 31. Yes, sister. Let's have a sister now. Who is that sister who wants to read? Sister Pamela. Mark 12, 28 to 31. Please follow in your Bible.
It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Amen. Okay. Now, I'll have it read again one more time from New Living Translation. Then the question will come. Mark 12, 28 to 31, New Living Translation. And then you will get a question. So, if you have New Living Translation, New Living. Mark 12, 28 to 31. Okay, Sister T.Y. Mark 12, 28 to 31. Please listen, then, because the question is coming from there.
One of the teachers of religious law was standing there, listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this.
Now listen.
Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.
Amen. Okay, this is my question. Are you ready? I'll take like a few answers. What is the most important commandment? No. I'm not going to take general. You're going to stand up and be counted. Who's going to first? Yes, go for it. Be bold.
Love your neighbor.
That's a good answer. A good answer. That commandment is important. We'll explain that. That commandment is important. Yes? Any other answer? What is the most important commandment in the Bible?
Love your neighbor and...
Just one. I want one. Only one.
Love your God.
Love your... God. Love your God. Love the Lord your God. Okay? That's also a good answer. Okay. Actually, you know, they are one commandment. Yes, let's have her. Come on, Fadi.
I was going to say they're all important as each other.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say that too. You know, they are the same command. Amen? We're saying this is own fellowship. You cannot ever be able to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love the Lord your God. Because human love does not have that capacity. You know what human love can do? You love your friends and you hate enemies. You love your family and you will hate the others. When I say hate, I don't mean like you hate them like they want to die. But you put them behind. Do you understand? You put them far, far behind. That's what human love. So it is impossible to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't even love yourself. Hello? Someone that hated themselves. Why should they love anybody? Hello? Are you with me? Someone is so frustrated. They want to die. Then they decided that I cannot afford to die alone. Now they want to take other people with them. Is that love? Is that God? Is that the difference? In Christianity, you cannot want to die and take others with you and say you are doing it in the name of God. Because the love of God does not allow that. Amen? So you can't love your neighbor as yourself until you love the Lord your God. Can you see the tie? But the reverse is true. You cannot say that you love God if you do not love your neighbor. The way we measure your love for God is in the treatment of your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Jesus defined it. He said your neighbor is not necessarily your family member. Your neighbor is not necessarily your friend. Your neighbor could be that stranger that has been attacked by thieves and left dying on the road. Hallelujah. Okay, let me not do. I have a lot to say. I can't afford to drift today. But all those answers are good answers. It's not the perfect answer. Hello? I said, you have not yet given me the perfect answer. So, Sister Toyin, please read again. Mark 12, 28 to 31, New Living. Please listen. Listen.
One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, Of all the commandments, which is the most important?
Which is the most important? No, there are so many commandments in the Bible. From old to new. There are commandments in the New Testament. If you read your Bible, there's instructions. If you tidy up all the instructions in the New Testament, it may be more than the commandments of the old. Just go to all the letters, church, count each instruction. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. Hello? Are you with me? When God talks, he's not giving you an idea. Everything God says is law. Because he is law. He is Lord. Nothing occurs to God. If God gives you, you know, an advice, you better take it seriously. It's not his opinion. It's the truth. Anything that proceeds from God is what? Truth. And the Bible is written by men who are inspired of the Holy Spirit. So everything you find in there is what? Truth. Truth. I like to differentiate between facts and truth. Facts are the things you see and smell and taste and touch. They are facts. And we know that facts can change. They change all the time. It may be sunny today, and they predicted that maybe it will be sunny all day, and then suddenly you have a shower. It happened last week, yeah? One of the days. There was just a brief shower, okay? The facts changed. But truth never changes. Truth is eternal. Hallelujah. And if you understand truth, you understand that the only definition of truth is what God says. When God says it, it's eternally valid. Amen. Hallelujah. It's eternally what?
Valid.
Because God is not bounded by time. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. That is why you can trust him. Even if your facts are not yet agreeing. Listen to that. Your facts do not always have to agree with the truth of God. Because that's what facts do. Amen. Facts change. But if you hold on to the truth of God, the truth of God will change your facts. You just need to persevere and hold it. Hallelujah. You need to persevere and hold it. Hallelujah. You hold it tight and that truth will prevail over any fact that is not good in your life. Amen. That's the power of the word of God. Please read it.
Right.
Jesus replied, listen.
The most important commandment is this.
The most important commandment is this. Now begin.
Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Okay, pause. Let me ask that question again. What is the most important commandment? Should we take it right first? Sister Pamela.
To love.
To love. You are still on this love business. Yes. Loving is good, by the way. You know, they say love is the greatest. But it depends on which type of love, yeah?
The most important is loving the Lord God as yourself.
Yes.
But then also, like he says, our love for God is not defined until we love.
Yes.
It's measured in that way.
Yes.
But then also, God all, honoring your parents is the only commandment that says that honor your parents and your life will be extended. It's got conditions.
Yes, that's true. That's the fourth commandment. And it's the very first commandment of the ten with a blessing listed. All the commandments are blessing, by the way. But this one was listed because God knows that you have the tendency to disobey it. Because it was the first commandment that was dealing with man. So that's why he told you, this is the blessing. The reason why God lists the blessing of his commandment is to encourage you to obey it. Because he knows that you may struggle with it. Okay? Yes, those are good answers, but that's not my answer. It's not the perfect answer. Yes? Let's just try one more person before I come to you. Because I have a feeling that you got it.
The most important commandment
from Mark 12:28-31.
The most important thing is to listen and hear.
Listen and hear. Okay, they are closer. If not, finally nailed it. Yes. What is the most important commandment?
I think the most important commandment is to.
Is to what?
Is to know.
Is to know
that the Lord our God.
That the Lord
is the only.
Is the only Lord.
Is the only Lord, one and only Lord.
Amen. If you doubt that, check the first commandment of the ten. We'll go there. Now, let me explain why it looks like that. You see, what everything written in Mark 12, 28-31 is one commandment. You can't love God until you have put him as your number one treasure. You will never be able to love him with all your heart. If the Lord is not your only Lord, you will never be able to love him with all your heart. It's impossible. Hello, are you listening to me? There are things you like doing. Like last week we found out that, you know, our sister likes swimming. So you don't need to beg her. She may go to work, she's tired. Before you know it, she will change into her swimming gear and she sneak off. Because she loves doing it. One of our sisters here likes cooking. You don't need to beg her. Before you know it, you will just see somebody bring food your way. She enjoys cooking. Amen? Yeah, what do you like doing? Anybody like running? Anybody's the running man here? Okay, anybody likes, you like running? Yeah. You know, you don't need to be, you know, cajoled, tricked. It's something you love. You enjoy it. Amen? So you will do it freely. And stresslessly. And you will go against the odds to do it. Amen? Anybody like watching television? You find out that even when you are sleepy, you refuse to go to bed. You prefer to sleep in the living room than to leave that TV. Because what? It's a treasure. Something you like. Amen? The Lord your God is the only Lord. Another way to say it, he said, that worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. No, nothing else in your life is worthy like God. And so you see, any other thing in your life that you are giving more priority, more attention, more affection, more devotion, is an idol. Hello, are you listening to me? And those idols are the things that will compete with you from being able to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind. Amen? Any other thing in your life that you hold to be strong value will compete with God. Until you bring them all under the dominion and the submission of God. Yeah? They will compete. Are you with me? If you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might and strength, you have to recognize that he is the reason for your living. Until you understand that, when you understand that, your waking thought will be how to please him and to do his will. Your sleeping moments will be how to please him and to do his will. Everything you are doing is directed back to honoring him, because you understand that this is the reason. Say the Lord is the reason for my living. If you can understand that, you're on your way to the fullness of eternal life. Hallelujah. People will annoy you. They will irritate you. They will frustrate you. Yeah? They will cheat you. They will deceive you. Amen? But don't be disturbed what people do. How can you love them when they don't order to you? When you put the Lord at the highest place in your life. Yeah. It becomes impossible for you to do some things to some people because you are not seeing them. You are seeing the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, someone has wronged you, but you're in a position to help them. They've not even apologized. You know, it feels much better when people apologize. Do you agree? Hello? I want to say this, you know, by the Spirit of some people. If you wrong people, apologize to them. Don't try to make up for it. Just apologize. Amen? Trying to make up is pride. Apologize. Amen? Don't apologize in your mind. You have to what? Say it. Hallelujah. You know, that's power of confession. You have to say it. Amen? Now, time might have passed. Yeah? But it's never too late to say sorry. You just go and say, you know what happened that time? I'm sorry. Hello? That is the way of God. It's the way of love. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you may find it difficult to do in your flesh. But just look at the Lord. Amen. When you see God, you can do things. Amen. Because your motivation is no longer you, your ego, your pride, your achievement, your recognition. It is Him. Amen. And so you begin to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. When you understand that, that is the primary reason for your existence. You owe your very life to Him. Okay, let's go to another story to make you understand that. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We looked at this last week. And I just want to just expand on some things. I feel like I did not have enough time to say well. Yes, someone please read for me. Luke 12. We're looking at verse 13 to 21. Else, a youth now. Let's have a youth. So we know that Agnes is there, Sean is there. Who else is there? Yeah, okay. You are a youth. Luke chapter 12. Please look at your Bible. We started with this last week, but God wants to show you something more. 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13 to 21.
Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own."
Listen to that. Life is not measured by what?
How much you own.
Now let me tell you something. That is very everything in the modern world. The modern world teaches you to measure your life by your achievements and your possessions. Amen? Yeah? Do you agree? Yeah? So when you are doing well, you feel that you are somebody important, isn't it? And when you are not doing well, you feel like you are nothing. Yeah? But Jesus says that, yes, in this world, people can make that. God does not ever measure your life according to your achievement or your possession. He has a different way of measuring your life, and we will talk about it. Continue, please.
Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Drink, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?" Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God.
Now, please, just before I go in, let me just do a disclaimer. You see, verse 20, is it 21? It's not saying that a person is a fool if he... That's not what he said. Amen? He didn't say that, oh, so if he's wealthy, they're a fool. Did he say that?
No.
To be wealthy is sin in itself. But a person is a fool if they stop at the word, but do not have a rich relationship with God. Now, according to the standard of the world, they have earthly wealth, they are important. In the standard of God, they are zero. Because God measures your life according to your relationship. Or, let me say it this way, the way you relate with Him. That's why I tell people, I say, your attitude is everything. Your attitude towards God, your attitude towards the things of God, that's how God measures you. Hello, listen to that. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, attitude is important. Now ask them, say, do you have attitude? Just ask them. Don't say right or wrong. Just say, do you have attitude? You know, some people, they have attitude. And this is what we block them from everything that God wants to do in their life. You can't teach them. You can't correct them. You understand? They will tell you, say, my truth is not your truth. Or your truth is not my truth. And we are in a free world. Actually, we're in a free world. But not in the kingdom. You see, that's why God, one of the titles of God is what? The Ancient of Days. You know the meaning of the title? The Ancient of Days. That means that before God, everybody is a child. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter your professional communication. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your beauty or your height or depth. It doesn't matter the clothes you're wearing. Hallelujah. Yeah? Before God, you are what? A child. Because He is the Ancient of what? You know, when you realize that, it should keep you humble. That's why Bible says God resists the people with attitude. Yeah. You can't do much with them. They don't come to church. They are not progressing spiritually. They are just marking time. They are warming the bench. But because God can't work with them, because they won't listen. Amen? They just will not what? Listen. But God gives grace. To who? The humble. Yeah. God can take nothing. A nobody. You know David? David was a nobody. He was the youngest of, is it 10 or 11 brothers? Yeah? He was nothing. They forgot in the field. Okay? And God took him. I said, from a nobody. God was looking for somebody to defeat Goliath. Yeah? And He took a nobody. Yeah? And took him out. Because God will give grace to the who? To the humble. Hallelujah. See, the problem of the rich fool is this. He planted or he invested and he got good profit. I can tell you, I have no doubt about it, that this man worked hard. I believe that this man is a smart man. Amen? I believe that he did his accounting and mathematics well. Hallelujah. Now, there is a place for work. The Bible says that the diligent will rule. The lazy will be servants. So if you want to be a servant all your life, just continue to be what? You don't need to fast and pray about it. Hello? Whatever God gives you to do, you need to be what? Diligent. But it's not only your diligence that causes you to prosper. Amen? You see, if you have a very high IQ or tough IQ like Bill Gates, I don't know his IQ, by the way. I heard he dropped out of school. Yeah? Thank God they didn't give up on him, or he didn't give up on himself for dropping out of school. Maybe you not have Microsoft Windows today, yeah? Amen? If you are very smart, you may make a lot of money. But your smartness is not just a product of, you know, your effort. Do you understand? The smartest person in the world today, they did not make themselves smart. They just found out they are smart. Hallelujah. So the problem of the rich fool, because we know the problem from the judgment. The judgment is that you, this fool, today your life will be required of you. What is God saying? God is saying that that life that helped you to even sow and prosper, who gave you? Who gave you? Hallelujah. I know you said it. You said, my life is mine to live, and I will live it the way I like. I'm happy to announce to you that your life is not yours. Your life is what? A gift. Say to yourself, say, my life is a gift from God. Hallelujah. Now, there are many other things that are gifts I want to explain to you. Your children. Your children are not yours. Even the government tells you that your children are not yours. That's why you are the legal guardian. You don't own them if you misbehave. Hello? Gone are the days, maybe many, even anywhere in the world today, gone are the days where a parent will just think they can, you know, do whatever they like with a child or kill a child, whatever. The government will ask you questions. They are telling you it's not yours. Amen? You are as far as the government is concerned, you are the legal guardian of your children. Amen? But I want to teach you, show you something else spiritually. Spiritually also, your children are not yours. Bible says Psalm 127. It says, children are what? A gift from the Lord. I want to explain that because many times we misunderstand it. That gift is not telling you that, okay, maybe out of 10 people, God likes your face. Yeah? So he gave you a gift of children. No, that's not the meaning. Amen? Let's go there. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Open your Bible to Psalm 27. Psalm 127, sorry. I don't know who is watching my back today. Psalm 127. I will show you something about everything you have and how you can begin to use it to love the Lord your God. That's the key. Psalm 127. And we're talking about commitment to Jesus. Psalm 127. Please read verse 3. We can have it from two versions. Where's the mic? Psalm 127 verse 3. Grammar is there. Psalm 127 verse 3. Let's have it from Jesus and New Living. Yes?
No, children are the heritage of the Lord.
Children are the heritage or the inheritance of the Lord. Yes?
And the fruits of the womb. Is his reward.
The fruit of the womb is what?
Is reward.
Is reward. Now listen. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. So what is the Lord rewarding you for? So does that mean that those who get pregnant, God is rewarding them? Yeah? Do you think that when you get pregnant, Sister Amanda, yesterday, when you get pregnant with a child, or maybe your first time or something, or any time, is God rewarding you? Yeah? Anybody believes that? But if you do, it's okay. Just tell us why. Don't be shy. Okay, I know you're not owning up. Maybe you thought so. No, that's not the meaning. Amen? Children are a gift. Who owns them? The Lord. Why are they a reward? I've taught this before. Who can give me the answer? Why are children a reward? And okay, nobody. All right. See, as from today, anytime you see gift in the Bible, yeah, to help your understanding, change the word and replace it with assignment. Hello? You know, if I give an assignment, I assign something to you. Hello? I signed it. Now it's yours. The reason why any of God's gifts and assignments is that God is a God of purpose. He does nothing without what? Purpose. Do you know even salvation is an assignment? It's a gift, but it's an assignment because it's a purpose. Amen? Children are a gift, yes, but they're a gift only because they are an assignment. There is a purpose. Righteousness is a gift, but that gift means it's an assignment. It has a purpose in your life to fulfill. Amen? Anything that God has given you is an assignment, including your life. Are you with me? God never does anything without purpose. He cannot deny himself. That's who he is. He's a purposeful God. The Bible says he did not create the heavens and earth, you know, to remain void. He has purpose. Amen? So God gave you life. Yeah? It's an assignment. God gave you children. Praise the Lord. It's an assignment. And that's why there will be a reward. Hello? There is a reward for every assignment. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Tell and say, there is a reward for every assignment. It's very simple. And that's what I was saying last week. I said, God will not reward you for your physical children. He will only reward you for your spiritual children. Let me explain that. What it means is that anything God gave you, he will reward you for what you did with it. Amen? So let me tell you how God will reward you for your children. Bible says, he said, train up a child. In where? The way that he should what? Go. And when he is old, he will know what? Everything that your parents deposited in you that is helping you today to follow the will of the Lord will reward them. Are you with me? Every other thing they did to you that is not helping you to follow God, no reward. There are some people in this life, yeah? They will have 10 children, but they have no reward from God. Because all they wanted to do with their children is create those children in their own image. Their own ungodly image. Say, oh, sister, say, why do you want a baby? I just want something that I can call my own. It's not your own. Amen. Spiritually, you are the spiritual guardian or custodian of your child. And you will give account. You give account of your life. You give account of your money before God. You give account of your children. Each and every one of them. You give account. How you trained them or how you neglected them. Yeah? You give account. And by the way, I want to say this. For those who don't have children yet, don't ever allow Satan to come and tell you that you're unlucky. Amen? Because God doesn't reward for physical children. Children are assignment. God rewards for spiritual children. Every life you touch on this earth, God will reward you. No, you may not have a child. Maybe you have, you know, 42 or 43 like me. But God may bring a 25-year-old into your life. They don't live under your roof, but God brought them to your life to mentor them. You mentor them. They are your spiritual children. And God will reward you. You may end up with more reward than the person that had 10 biological children. Because they only add it to fulfill their selfish motive. Are you with me? Now, when you begin to see life like that, you break the hold of the devil. He can't hold you. Amen? My children, my assignment, their assignment. When it's getting tough, remember, they are your assignment from the Lord. Hallelujah. So when it's getting tough, just remind yourself, I'm doing for the Lord. Say to yourself, I'm doing this for the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how God measures your life. Amen. Now, what you don't want to do is live your life and become 100 years old before you realize this truth. Because you can't go back. Amen. But wherever you are in your journey today, today is the day of salvation. It's the day of repentance. Where you've missed it, you turn around and say, as from today, the Lord is the only Lord. Everything in my life flows through Him and towards Him. Then your life will count for eternity. Amen. Your life is an assignment. I was saying this, we're saying this every day you are writing your eternal legacy. Every day. That's why if you are lazy, yeah, you are a wicked and foolish person. Because if you make it to heaven, your legacy will be blank. Because you did nothing. Are you with me? Every day, the way you treat people, yeah, whether you spend time in the word of God or you pray, yeah, how you show compassion, how you forgive, how you give, the extra mile you go to make a difference, you are writing your eternal legacy. And when it's all been said and done, that is what we remain to measure your life. Hello? My vision as a pastor is not to waste your time. Amen? You know, I believe that in hell, there are some people that they will tear their pastor into pieces. See, because you did not tell me the truth. You lied to me. Are you with me? That's why it's the truth that sets you what? Free. Okay, we are not here in this church to excite you. We are here to impact you, help you grow, help you make the most of your life. We want your life to be in the right direction. The things that have gone wrong, we want them to become right. Where the devil has been oppressing you, we want to join with you and kick that devil out. But you say, oh, but how can Pastor talk like this? Are you not afraid of the devil? See, in my own power, I'm not a match for the devil. Yeah? Yeah? As a human flesh and blood, I'm no match. Hallelujah. But in him, it's not my power. I'm just in him. I'm in Christ. Yeah? So the devil doesn't face me. He faces who? Christ. So the mistake I must never make is walk out of Christ. Hello, are you listening to that? Yeah? The Bible says that the righteous, they are what? Bold lion. You know what that means? If you know who you are in Christ and you remain in your place, yeah? When the devil comes against, he's coming against Christ. Amen? And there is no match for Christ because Christ made him. I said Christ made the devil. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So let's be looking to round up in 10 minutes. Let's ask some questions. So we have talked about the most important commandment. That the most important commandment is this. You said something that I like. You said actually, it's not just to know. Because you can't know if you don't hear or listen. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. They may be sleeping. Say hello, hello, how are you? Sunday, God bless you. Say, the Bible says, hear. Listen. Then you will know. Hear, O Israel. Or listen. The Lord your God is what? The only Lord. People will come to you and try to tell you, no, no. You know, if you can, you know, invest in this and that. And investment is good. I'm not saying investment is not good. What is wrong about investment is that if your investment is just for selfish motive, yeah, that's where the problem is. But if you invest and your goal is to honor the Lord, everything must point back to him, then it becomes a tool in the hand of God that he can use for his glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, I must never aim to recreate my children in my image. My image is not perfect. You got me? I'm aiming to train them to become in the image of what? Christ. So that when they go, what they do, we honor the Lord. Amen. He will get the glory. And I will get the blessing. Is that not fair? Yeah, God gets the glory. Who gets the blessing? God does not need the blessing. I don't know one thing. Maybe you don't understand who God is. God does not need the blessing. He has it. He wants to give it. You know, every time you say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. You're missing the point. Exactly what God wants to do already. So then you pray like it's like God doesn't want to bless you. So now we must pray and fast and beg and plead before. No, no, no. God is forever willing to bless you because he doesn't need the blessing. You know what God needs in your life? What does God need in your life? I said it already. What does God need in your life? You don't have to say anything. Don't worry.
Faith.
No, I just said it now. I just said, what does God need in your life? I just said it. Thou art worthy to receive what? Glory. There is something that God does not want to share with man. And that's what?
Glory.
But there is something that God wants to share with man and give to man. What is that? Blessing. He gives the glory. And he gives you what? The blessing. Is it fair? Is it a fair trade? Let's open to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Now, you know this verse. You've said it many times. You've sang it many times. I'm hoping that God will open your eyes to what the Bible is saying here. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. Now, someone has not read today. So I'm coming to this angle. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. Please read.
It's Matthew 6:23.
Go on. That is just giving you a prompt.
Okay. But
go on, Esther.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
I know you read it, you sang it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where is the Bible? Where are you hiding? I want all the things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say one more time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the state shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you ask me, I've thought about it many times, I know you have. But how do you seek the kingdom? Are you saying I should leave my job? No! Are you saying I should leave my husband or my wife and just become a nun or a monk to serve God? No! Are you saying that I should not pay attention to my children and just come and spend all my time with you, Pastor? No! Are you saying that I should give all my money away to the church? No! Hallelujah. Are you saying I should not aspire to be the best in my profession? No! It's a matter of priority. Hallelujah. Amen? If you don't want money to rule you, you have to bring your money under God. Understand that God, Jesus is the Lord of your money. And then he will speak to you by his spirit. He will not stop you from eating breakfast or lunch or dinner. He will not stop you from having a nice car or a nice house. Proportionally, he will show you how to use his money to move the kingdom forward. Without denying you of the blessing of that money. Hallelujah. You see, this is a master secret of blessing. Now when I say blessing, you know somebody can go and steal money and be rich and they think they are blessed. They are not blessed, they are fools. Because God is not there. Hallelujah. Anywhere God is not, is what? Foolishness. Hallelujah. That's not blessing. Are you listening to me? That's not blessing. Blessing obtained by means of what? Ungodliness is not real blessing. I know it's wealth, but it's not blessing. The blessing that is real blessing is that you have it and you are using it to honor God. You have peace of mind. Hallelujah. You have to say where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Hallelujah. If your treasure is being used to advance the kingdom, your heart will be in the kingdom. And I tell you something, you will still enjoy the blessing. Because when Abraham lived to honor God, his life did not go down. It went up. He didn't have a child. God blessed him with a child. He went his way and tried to make Ishmael happen. God said, it's not Ishmael. Hallelujah. He said, it's not Ishmael. I said, when I want to do something, I will do it. Amen. I said, when I want to do something, I will what? Do it. All you need to do is keep seeking me. Someone said, but how do you seek the kingdom? Seek him. How do you seek God? When you just set him in the highest place of your life. No matter we say, you know, I'm born again. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? We're rounding up. What does it mean to be born again, anyone? How can you get born again? Yes? Yes, yes, I like that. Another answer. You mean, I expect everybody to say something.
And confess with your mouth that Jesus.
Now Jesus is what? Lord. I said this, I want to say this again. It is not Jesus being your savior that saves your soul. Yeah? You can accept Jesus as savior. He says he's the savior of the world. We know that you are the savior of the world. That's a good step. Hello? That's what? A good step. But until you make him the Lord of your life, that's what saves your soul. That delivers you from another kingdom. He said he has delivered us from the kingdom of what? Darkness. He said, but you know, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm a nice person. I'm not in darkness. Yeah. I know you may not feel in darkness, but your heart is dominated by pride and selfishness. It's darkness. Amen? But when Jesus becomes the Lord, you begin to seek him. Amen? How do you seek him? You want to please him. It's no longer a struggle. It's coming from your heart. Amen. That is secret. Because as you now walk with Jesus, he will be telling you what to do and where to go. It's progressive. You see, if you close one part of your life from God, God is a gentleman. He will sit and be watching you. You know the prodigal son? Went his way. Did the father go and look for him? Did the father go and look for the prodigal son? No. But what did the father do? Every day he was waiting. He was waiting at the gates that today he will come home. Tomorrow. But you know why it was important for the father not to go and look for him? Because he had to come to his senses. Amen? Amen? Are you with me? He had to what? Come to his senses. But something the father did that was very important. He gave him his inheritance. He didn't have to, because it wasn't the boy's. He didn't work for it. It's the father's own, isn't it? So when he gave him, that's love. It's that singular act that reminded his son when he was in trouble that he can go back to his father. Because he knows that his father is generous. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's how God reaches out to you. He sent his only son, yeah? To die for your sin. Every day, no matter what you are doing wrong, he still has mercy on you. Yeah? You did it wrong and everything looks good. Does not mean you are okay. Hello? You went to do something wrong. Nobody knows. And you checked your account. There's salary. There's still money there. Your investments are going well. Yeah? Everybody's happy. You think you are okay. You are not okay. It's God's mercy. Amen? And the purpose of the mercy is to bring you to what? Repentance. Hallelujah. You just sit to you and say, God, I'm for you. My time is yours. Show me how to use it for your glory. He will not take it away because he gave you. Remember, God is not going to take away what he gave you already. You know, Isaac, God told Abraham, he said, give me your son, or your only son, and offer him. Did God take Isaac from Abraham? Never. God will not take away what he has given you. But he wants you to be willing to give it back to him so he can bless it. God will not bless what he has given you until you are willing to give it back. Because what God gave you is an assignment. And until you begin to release it back to God, you cannot get a reward. Do you understand that spiritual law? It's very simple. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, we will seek to just, you know, begin tidy things up there. So let me ask the last question. I asked this last week. Do you deserve to be happy? Yes. You think you deserve to be happy? Why do you think you deserve to be happy?
I think I deserve to be happy because the Bible says I deserve to be happy.
Because of Jesus. Amen? Because of what? Jesus. If it's because of your hard work, there are people that work hard. That you, they're working harder. Some people, they are laying blocks every day. Do you know how to lay blocks? Yeah? They are sweating it out. And, you know, the other day I was driving and you see the people walking on the road walk. In the snow, they were there. In summer, they are what? There. So it's not your hard work alone. Work is part of it, I know, but it's not your hard work alone. No, you think you deserve to be happy because you are good. We said last, no one is good, but you can be nice. So I'm happy you are here. I wanted to explain that. You see, the reason why you think people are good is because they are nice to you, or you consider them nice. Now, I do not deny the fact. This world, they are nice people, and there are people that are not what? Nice. You know the word we call them? Nasty. The opposite of nice is what? Nasty. That's fact. So people who are nice in this world, they think they are good. They are not good because there is something about them that is not nice. Are you with me? So it's not your niceness. That's not why your life is moving forward. Your niceness is good. It's part of it. Your hard work is good. It's part of it. But above all, the Bible says, Lamentation says, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's his compassion. It's loving kindness. That's why when you miss it, it doesn't destroy you. It will still help you on the way back. Hallelujah. Now, when you understand that it's not just what you did that made you prosper, you understand that it is about him. And the only reason why God gives you mercy and compassion is so that you can draw closer to him. The only reason why God wants to bless you is so that He can take the glory in your life. We call it worship. Let's rise up and pray. So what I want you to do today is very simple. You just could give everything to Him. I don't know how else to say it. Hallelujah. When you give everything to Him, you will still have them. Hello, listen to that. When you give everything to God, you will see what? He will just show you how to use them for His glory. Hello? Anything you have, God will show you. When you give it to God, He will show you how to use it for His glory. He's not taking it away. He's not a thief. He gave you. It's the devil that is the thief. Hallelujah. So this day, I want you to rededicate yourself to God. I want you to repent. Because He asked me, He said, what is idolatry? Idolatry is to take any part of your life and offer it to somebody else or something else in the place of God. And that's a terrible sin. Because God is the only Lord. In fact, another verse says, I'm the Lord, there's no other. So today, I want you to acknowledge. And because the Lord is one, Jesus is Lord. I can say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I commit myself to you. I yield myself. You can't yield yourself without yielding your time. You can't yield yourself without yielding your money. If you are unfaithful in worldly wealth, who will commit to you true riches? You can't yield your life without yielding your anything that God brings your way. It must be used for His glory. That is how you write your eternal legacy. I want you to repent of where you missed it and rededicate yourself to Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I just invite the choir to lead us. We're going to sing, My Life Is Not My Home. My life is not my home. To you I belong, and I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. When you give yourself, He will show you the way. Because your eye is single. Your heart is focused. My life is not my own. To you I belong.
To you I belong.
And I give myself to you.
I give myself. To you.
We're talking about commitment to Jesus. My life is not my home.
Life is not my home. To you I belong.
And I give myself to you.